Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out of town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Just a 60-minute show this morning. Actually, now 56 minutes. As we'll be cut short by the Michigan-Wisconsin game, which I know all of you have been thirsting for all week.
I'm fired up.
Yes. So we have myself, Chris, Matt McCarthy along here. For an hour or so. And I'll be honest, like, all I really want to do over the next, like, 50 minutes or so is just gloat. It's not something I would typically do, because Lord knows I've gotten my fair share of predictions and takes wrong, and I will continue to keep doing that. But this one, Antonio Brown, where I sat here 2 weeks ago to the day saying, stay away. See what happened with the video he posted that Friday night, the end of his Raiders tenure, and then he was cut that Saturday a couple of weeks ago. Said he's an emotional and energy vampire, is Antonio Brown. He's Livia Soprano in cleats. I told you. I told you that this hurricane of chaos, Antonio Brown, would be just that, an ongoing problem. And just when you think whatever latest controversy he's involved in is about to blow over, and don't be mistaken, this one was about to blow over, just wait a couple of days, because this self-sabotaging, impulsive burden of a human being will do something else to make himself and his employer, the Patriots, look bad. It took 11 days. 11 days. The texts he sent to the second accuser, the painter, that we found out about in the Sports Illustrated from a story from Robert Klumko earlier in the week. Whether or not you, those of you, the lunatic fringe Patriots fans, thought that they were threatening, by definition, completely irrelevant. What is relevant to this is their further proof. Again, told you, Antonio Brown can't help himself. He can't help himself. His brain's broken. He's a menace to himself, his employer, everyone around him. Thankfully, the Patriots cut bait yesterday afternoon. Team doesn't, to me, really deserve all that much credit for doing so, because, again, he should have never been here in the first place. Now he's thankfully gone. And it's so satisfying. Oh, This one feels good. Again, I typically wouldn't do this kind of thing. I really wouldn't. But this one, I'm going to be a lesser man. I'm going to gloat, because anyone with a clue, anyone with common sense knew, just a matter of time. I didn't think it would be 11 days, but it was just a matter of time. So for those of you that were dug in, McCarthy, mm-hmm. and the whataboutists who yesterday were trying to bring up Robert Klemko's arrest yesterday morning, bring up Klemko's arrest! Those of you who wanted to downplay the text, where's the threatening? I don't see it. Those of you who want to say, it's the media running Antonio Brown out of town. You guys are haters. Take your L. Take the L. Wash it down while I smugly point and laugh up here on my high horse. Antonio Brown was the hill you wanted to die on, you idiots. Take the L. Choke it down. You, McCarthy, I'll start with you. Apologize.
I will. I have a prepared statement here.
Good. Let's hear it.
2 weeks ago, again, fully prepared statement. 2 weeks ago, I engaged in a radio show that I now regret. On that night, I wholeheartedly supported the signing of Antonio Brown. I shook my ass in the face of those who suggested that this would not work. I drank the tears of unimaginable sadness from those who cried over the Patriots signing him. I went so far as to declare that there was essentially no risk in signing this gigantic a-hole. Mm. In doing so, I ignored the warnings of Jim Murray, the man who once declared, quote, bring me the a-hole, unquote, was so strongly opposed to bringing in this particular a-hole that I should have known that it would be an unmitigated disaster, and I did not listen. I should have known that this burden of a human being was a soul-sucking emotional vampire. In the words of Jim Murray, I should have known that he would create hours upon hours of nauseating discussion. I am not perfect. I am only human. I can only hope to be better the next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Well done, Matt.
You are a better man than me. I don't know if I could craft such an apology like that.
Yeah, but, where's your apology for the Super Bowl last year? Do you have a statement like that?
I picked the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Oh, okay. I thought they'd lose in the AFC Championship game, but, you know, I picked them to beat the Rams in the Super Bowl because I know deep down that Jared Goff is an idiot. But thank you, Matt. That is a hell of an apology, a well-crafted apology. And Chris, you're not you don't deal in the mud and the dirt like I do, but you felt the same way a couple of weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, we were here begging them not to sign, warning them, saying you can't bring this guy. And this was before. Here's the other thing that drives me nuts. There's like revisionist history here, and people start to go into the sexual assault and rape allegation and say, well, you know, you can't let him go. It's just a civil suit. No, you and I didn't want him before that. Because of the baggage that he brought to the table, strictly from a sports standpoint. We have now transcended that, and this is like now real world baggage with a sexual assault violation or allegation, I should say, a rape allegation, and then harassing texts. So we've now gone beyond just sort of sports baggage of being a terrible teammate who was on teams that consistently had a chance to win, but you still complained constantly because all you cared about was yourself and your stats. We're beyond that now to other stuff. But for me, that was the biggest red flag. How could you not look at the 182 days he spent with the Raiders and say, this is someone who's not reliable. This is someone you want to bring into your organization and reward him for that behavior. And by the way, what happened to this was all part of his master plan, right?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. This self-immolation is all part of a master plan. I don't think so. I think the guy just can't help himself. He can't help himself when it comes to this erratic behavior. And I just think that Belichick was so blinded by the talent and was so convinced of his structure and his locker room and his ability to coach that he just thought, I can keep this guy contained. I can keep him on the straight and narrow. And ultimately, he could not. And I think, you know, I do have to laugh a little bit because I think, you know, it's interesting. The Patriots have done a really good job, guys, of painting this as being this like unanimous, easy joint decision. And I do think at the end it was a joint decision. But Bill was the guy who went to bat to bring this guy in. And I think that it took some of Friday for him to come to the conclusion they had to let this guy go. I don't think his first reaction was to read those texts and say, we got to get rid of this guy. I really don't. Because it's hard to admit you're wrong, right? Not for McCarthy. That was very well done.
my people crafted an excellent
But it's hard to admit you're wrong, especially when you went to bat for somebody. And you know, I think Bill got burned on this one. I really do. I think he got burned, and I think he fell in love with the talent. I think sort of the hubris of the hoodie of saying, like, well, I've made it work with these other guys. But what we said and what I said, the biggest red flag for me with this guy was this wasn't Corey Dillon or Randy Moss coming from losing situations saying, I just want to win. This was a guy who had a situation that outside of the Patriots, they're way up here. There's nobody close to them. Outside of the Patriots was probably one of the best situations in the NFL to win year in and year out. And he still bitched and complained.
Went to a Super Bowl his rookie year. It's not like he played in Cleveland or in Tampa. No. In one of the dregs of the 32 teams in the NFL. He was in a winning culture, like, you know, like the 1B to the Patriots, at least in the AFC. It is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
It's not like he hadn't.
6 of the 9 years they were there, they won double-digit games.
Yeah.
And he would never had a losing season.
I'll tell you, I said it last week. I have more respect now for Mike Tomlin than I ever did. I don't think he's like a great coach, but he's one of the better ones in the league. I have him like 6th or 7th in the league because it's Belichick, big precipitous drop off everybody else. But for Tomlin and for them to like basically keep this guy under wraps in his 9 years there, like kudos, because it took 11 days for this guy to help tarnish the Patriots, the brand. I think the brand took a bit of a hit here in the 11 days. And more than he did more damage in 11 days than he ever did in 9 years in Pittsburgh. I really believe that. Now, they'll recover from this, obviously. And winning, as you always say, is the best deodorant.
Winning's the ultimate deodorant, baby.
They'll kick the bejesus out of the Jets yesterday. And this will be mostly forgotten. We'll talk about it a few more days. But I don't know. Do you think the brand took a little bit of a hit?
Yeah, I know you guys were saying on Felger and Maz. Like, I took a little bit of a hit, but not as big a hit as you guys, I think, are sort of portraying it as. I mean, at the end of the day, because they'll win and because he was only here 11 days, I think it's not going to be that big a deal. Like, you know, do your job for, are we even going to remember this? You know, I just don't think, I think they made the right decision. If anything, for me, I just wish they'd gotten there a little sooner. I know there were some concerns about the idea of parting with an employee over a civil lawsuit. And I get that to a degree, but I just think that, let me put it like this. I think that there are people in that organization who are relieved that this experiment, this social experiment, is over. You know, I don't...
From the top down, or are you just talking teammates?
I think in general, okay, in the organization. You know, I think that people were open to trying to make it work, but I don't think everybody thought from the beginning it was going to work. I think, you know, Belichick and Brady really wanted this guy, and they really were sort of, you know, all in on it and enthusiastic, but I don't think that enthusiasm permeated the entire organization from the locker room and moving up.
Yeah, the Brady aspect to this is one I kind of find also somewhat equally detestable. Like, you wanted him that bad. And as much as I'm a Brady Bobo, like you and I are card-carrying members.
Yeah, I guess.
This is like proof to that thing of him not wanting to really deal with younger wide receivers and rookie wide receivers. Well, guess what? Sack up. At 42, you might have to acquiesce a little bit here and make yourself a little bit uncomfortable, because if you do want to win this seventh title, and I think that he does, and he wants to continue to promote his brand and longevity with TB12, learn to work with the young kids. What, you wanted Antonio Brown just because, well, he comes in as, you know, one of the top three, maybe the top wide receiver in the league, and there's not going to be that much of a learning curve? Learn to work with Jacoby Myers. Learn to work with Gunnar Olszewski and some of the young guys. It ain't going to hurt you that much. Put in a little bit of effort. Like, that's the one. It's like, oh, what, you wanted him that bad because he's not a rookie, like, and you don't have to deal with the learning curve? Like, that I found a little bit annoying.
Yeah, I think some of, you know, look, I think Brady was all in, you know, initially. I think as they got towards the end, maybe there was more ambivalence. And I think don't read too much into the social media stuff. You know, I think that...
What, the heart emojis?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of that is just being polite. You know, I think that maybe for Brady at the end that there was some relief, you know, because this has become a situation that was... So it was a distraction. I mean, let's be honest about it. It was a distraction. And I thought they could contain this guy and tolerate him. And it was obvious that they couldn't. And ultimately, the ultimate thing with Antonio Brown, right, is that, again, another great situation he's in with the Patriots. They lay out everything for him that he has to do. All you have to do is just behave and just not think about yourself and indulge your impulses all the time. And he couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
I mean, that
just couldn't do it.
That is unbelievable. Even if you did really believe in him, or you were just like, you know, you were blinded by the talent like Belichick was and Brady was, how do you wake up Thursday morning and hear that and not be like, what have you done, you idiot? If you're his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, if you're his lawyer, can you just stay away from your phone? Don't text. Don't post anything. Just be quiet. This is blowing over. I believe in the 5-day rule. We have such, I mean, it's the dumbest time to be alive in human history. I stand by that. We get dumber by the day. Like, people have such short memories now. I always use this as, it's a horrific example, but it's just proof to what I'm saying. That shooting in Las Vegas, what was it, 2-3 years ago? Even I don't know. What was the name of the shooter? How many people got killed? It was like 60, 70? Who knows? People forgot about it in like 5 days. Everyone forgets about everything in 5 days. All he had to do was sit tight and not do anything and shut up and not touch his phone. And this would have blown over. It would have blown over. And those of you that lusted for the talent, that wanted to say, "Boy, you sound like an old nana, finger-wagging nana, Murray." And those of us were saying, why did you sign this guy? You would have been right. You would have been right, McCarthy. You wouldn't have had to actually craft that response.
You're right.
You could have felt good about your I Want to Drink Your Tears show you did 2 weeks ago on this very day.
The tears did taste excellent, by the way.
But no, he can't. He can't. He's impulsive. He's a hurricane of chaos. I can't remember anything like this. Like, this is... I knew it was all a matter of time. 11 days? Even I'm shocked by that. I knew he was an a-hole, but 11 days? That's crazy.
But, I mean, if anything, I would think sort of this is analogous to, you must have experienced this, or you have much better reference than me, but this is like a musician melting down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It kind of is. Like, yeah, but usually that involves, you know, heavy drug use, alcoholism, like all these other things. This guy, his addiction, I think, is his emotion and himself. And he's unbelievable. He really is. And I do wonder if he is going to end up getting another job in the NFL, because this does kind of feel like the final straw for Antonio Brown. We'll take your calls on it. 617-779-0985. He's gone. They never needed him in the first place. And there is some, I think, a silver lining here. Like, for guys like Jacoby Myers, Philip Dorsett, again, 23 of 23, the last 23 attempts that Brady's thrown to him. And once N'Keal Harry actually gets healthy, well, those guys are going to get more shots to prove themselves. They never needed him in the first place. We'll take your calls on Antonio Brown, no longer a Patriot, here on Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I had zero confidence that it would work in New England, and so I'm not surprised. The behavior last night with the text that seemed designed to harass and intimidate an accuser, group text, by the way, seems to have been the final straw. But this was not a person who was, just if you take, you know, that insidious part out of it, allegedly, this is not a person who, from a football perspective, was behaving in a way that was conducive to employment anywhere. And I think the notion that somehow Bill Belichick and Tom Brady could wave some magic dust and get a guy who was not behaving very rationally, was making a lot of erratic decisions, and seemed to not be somebody who was behaving in his best financial interests or career interests, and that somehow that magic dust would make him, a new guy, I think was kind of silly. But this has been looked at from a bizarre football perspective. Somehow the notion that he could take less money but go to the Patriots and win would solve this entire situation, I think that was just a fallacy to begin with.
NFL reporter, longtime NFL reporter Michael Silver on the bad guy, Antonio Brown, who is now unemployed. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So I said, you know, some of the silver lining here is that, you know, there'll be more reps for Jacoby Myers, Philip Dorsett. And I think Dorsett's great. That's a guy that I always looked at as maybe like a fourth option, Chris, but he looks more like a two, and he's just reliable. Great hands, good route runner. Like, that's a guy I want to see more of going forward. Another one, I don't know, for those of us like myself, applied common sense to this whole thing from the get-go, I can feel better about things now and actually watching this team. Because last week, kind of gross, I'll be honest. Like, he catches that touchdown, and I know a lot of you are like, yeah, see, this is what he's going to be in the offense. And he didn't really know the offense yet, twisting his body. I get it. Antonio Brown, look, my eyes work. He's infinitely talented. He might be the best wide receiver in the game, although I would go with DeAndre Hopkins. That's just my own personal taste. But when he caught that touchdown, I was like, oh, that was gross. I was just like, I guess I'll try to learn to deal with this, but like, that was just, it was gross. So now, for those of us that, you know, had working brains and applied common sense to this signing in the first place and saying, no, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, well, now we can go back to actually truly enjoying this team right now.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that should, you know, be the upshot here. I mean, for me, that's the silver lining of this whole thing, is that when you look at it, feel free to enjoy the rest of your season, people. I mean, before this, when you were watching these games, there had to be some level of conflict, I think, for a great deal of Patriots fans. You know, you're looking at the laundry and saying, this is good, I'm going to root for this team, because you sort of rotely do that, you're programmed to do so. But on the other hand, this is not really a guy that you want to root for or that you feel like should be on your team, given some of the behavior, both from a football standpoint and then some of the allegations. So I look at it and say, this team's going to be great no matter what. Now, will they win the Super Bowl? I think they definitely can. There's no guarantees. There's no guarantee they do it with this guy. So when you look at it, enjoy your season, enjoy your team, because you can do that now. Because before, I think that there was an ethical compromise to rooting for this team as long as he was on it. I really do. I really feel that way. And so now you're free. You're free to just enjoy this team. And I think in a lot of ways, trying to defend this guy and trying to justify his place on the roster, much worse than Spygate or Deflategate.
Frank, you're first up here on Gasper Murray this morning. Hey, Frank.
Boys, how's it going?
Good, what's up?
Nothing much. Look, real quick, pardon my ignorance, but who's the Patriots wide receiver coach?
Joe Judge.
Okay. I want to see him put it to Brady a little bit, like what you guys were talking about. Start working with these other guys that are here, that are coming back. It can still work. They still have a great team. You know who Antonio Brown reminds me of? It clicked in my head yesterday. You guys remember in Rocky II when all Apollo Creed had to do in the 15th round was just stay away from Rocky and he would have won? You remember the guy in the corner just screaming his trainer, stay away from him, stay away from
him? Yes, yeah.
All this moron, and that's what he is, a moron. All he had to do was keep his phone off. That's all he had to do. Stay off of social media. Don't give anybody the fuel to sets you on fire. And what does he do? He just can't help himself from being a bad guy. It just reaffirms my thinking. The modern athlete is just an absolute idiot.
Thanks, Frank. Not all. I mean, this was one of the things that started to bug me over the last 11 days of Antonio Brown being on the Patriots, is that, like, people want to paint the broad brush of, like, oh, all football players are idiots. Like, that is patently false.
And no,
you know,
you've
certainly been more locker rooms than I have. But guys that you just know just by listening to them, Matthew Slater, the McCourties, like, there's good
Benjamin
guys.
Watson.
Yeah. You know, Kyle Van Noy and the things that he and his wife do for adoption and things like that. Like, you know, there's guys out there, big hearts, that are well-spoken, they're well-read. Like, there's good guys. You have an element of bad, but that's going to be in any aspect of life.
Yeah, that's any vocation, right?
Yeah.
And nobody's perfect. I mean, we all strive to do the right thing. It's just when you sort of build a bubble. And like I've been saying to you before, I mean, to me, this is more like sort of an eccentric, you know, musician or musical artist to me than an athlete, where they've just built this entire, it's like Justin Bieber, right? When he went down his path, where you just build this entire world where you do whatever you want, and there are no consequences, and you have all these sycophants around you that allow you to do this. To me, that's what Brown has done. He's like, even looking at those text messages, like, you know, he's looping in his boys and his lawyers and all these people that make excuses for him and basically saying, this is what I want done. You know, clean this up. Silence this woman for me. I almost said something else. Silence this woman for me.
He's a guy who's never heard the word no.
He's never heard the word no as a professional athlete and thought that actually means no. You know, that means this is over.
Let's go to John in New York on Antonio Brown's release yesterday. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Not much. So I'm going to preface this with, I agreed with the Patriots' decision to ultimately let AB go. But, you know, when we talk about all these bad apples in the NFL, I think you got to just think a little bit deeper. Like, I read about AB's childhood. The dude was living homeless while he was in high school. I mean, that's going to mess up anybody's mind. Sorry,
train's
coming. I can't really talk.
All right. You go get that train. He's 31 years old. If we were maybe talking about someone who was 21, 22, okay, you're still very young. You still have an opportunity to change your life and better your situation and, you know, deal with the demons you had to deal with and having a horrible upbringing. He's 31. He's dug in. This is who he is. Stop making excuses for him. I don't want to hear it.
But let's say there's some legitimacy to that, and there might be. Were you saying that when he was on the Steelers or the Raiders? No.
Right.
You weren't. I mean, let's just be honest. You weren't. And so now, because he was on your team, we're going to dig into his background. When he was on the Steelers and he was doing the Facebook Live thing, and you could, you know, play armchair psychologist and says, you know, he likes this stuff. He likes the social media. He likes the attention because maybe he didn't get some of that when he was younger. I don't remember any Patriots fans saying, I remember them saying, oh, what a joke the Steelers are. That would never happen with the Patriots. They're so disorganized. They're so dramatic. What a soap opera. Tomlin has no control. This is why we beat them. You literally were pointing to Antonio Brown's behavior and saying, this is why we're better than the Steelers. And now we're about his upbringing. Get out of here.
All right. Will he get another job? Because, again, talent trumps trouble, maybe more in the NFL than any other professional sport. So we'll get Adam Schefter's thoughts on that with more of your phone calls at 617-779-0985 on the release of Antonio Brown. And caught up in the wash of all this, Chris, is that the Patriots offensive line is kind of in shambles. And I wish that they would trade for Trent Williams. You just wrote a piece about this the other day before this whole thing blew up. So I want to get your thoughts on that going forward. Again, we'll get we're only here for like a half hour more here today. It's just 1 hour of Gaspar Murray. Because so many of you have been clamoring for Michigan, Wisconsin, and we will have that for you at noon. So your calls and whether or not Antonio Brown gets a job next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Gaspar and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think it's fair to wonder who at this point would give Antonio Brown a chance next. When the New England Patriots say goodbye to you, that's a kiss of death on a lot of people, I think. And if they're saying goodbye, that's going to scare a lot of teams off. I don't see any team in his future.
ESPN's Adam Schefter, a little bit overdramatic. Once you can't work with the Patriots, well, that's the kiss of death. Like, all right, it's a bit much. It's Gaspar Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. But quickly, Chris, do you think he ends up with another team? Because, again, talent does trump trouble, typically more in the NFL than maybe any other professional sport. So do you think maybe Kansas City takes a look, Dallas, Washington Redskins, someone like that?
Yeah, I think somebody will take a look. I mean, I could see Seattle. You know, Pumpkin Jack Pete, I think much like Bill, probably feels very strongly about his approach to coaching. And the structure he's built. And look, the Seahawks in the past have not shied away from guys who are sort of outspoken or can be difficult from a behavioral standpoint. And that's not me equating, you know, any of the guys they've had in the past to Antonio Brown's behavior. But I just think they don't mind conflict maybe as much as some other teams in the NFL. So I could see a team like the Seahawks taking a chance on him. They could use a little help at receiver. Russell Wilson, I think, threw with him this past offseason, was sort of courting him a little bit before he signed with the Patriots. So maybe Seattle would take a second look.
All right. More of your calls in. Antonio Brown, your thoughts in the short time that we have here on Gaspar and Mari this morning, 617-779-0985. Gene in the car. You're next here on the Sports Hub. Hey. Hello. Is it Gene or Jean? Hello.
Oh, no, it's Gene. I'm sorry. Oh,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so last year, it seemed like the whole season was the shadow of what happened in the off season, carried on through the season, and it just wasn't a super satisfying season, even though it ended up great. But it really affected the team with all the stuff that went on in the off season, and it just seems like this year, everybody was so high on the team. The team seemed to really come together, put all that behind them, and said, "Come on, we're going to win. We're the Patriots." And this idea that we can just take any amount of garbage and put it into our system and it comes out some other way, I think is an arrogance. And I think that we really did damage to what we had going. I'm sure we'll recover. We'll be fine. But it seems like a self-inflicted and unnecessary wound that we put on the team.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a great way to sum it up, Gene. It was self-inflicted.
Well said.
Yeah. They didn't need to bring him in the first place. Now, this will blow over. And I do think they'll be fine. I think the defense is legit. And the offense will be good enough anyway. Like, I think it was proven, at least I thought it was proven in that first game against Pittsburgh. Like, oh, you didn't even need Antonio Brown anyway. Like, I had concerns about the wide receiver core. But Philip Dorsett looks better than ever. Your Jacoby Myers looks all right. I just wish Brady would maybe like look his way a little bit more. And now maybe he will. And you'll get N'Keal Harry back. So this will all blow over. They'll be fine. I do have concerns about the offensive line, though. I mean, it does feel like they're playing a shell game with, you know, guys off the street. And I, you know, you wrote about it. I'm with you. Like, they should trade for Trent Williams. If you're going for this seventh title, your quarterback's 42 years old. Who knows what's going to happen to him in the offseason? I think he'll be back, but he'll have the option to be a free agent, obviously. Go all in. Make the trade for Trent Williams.
Yeah, and look, you know, I will say, I will freely admit that I've done a 180 on this, because before I was no Trent Williams during training camp and before the season started, just because of his age and the fact he's missed 13 games the last 3 years to injury or suspension. And I wanted to see what Wynn could do. And I thought Wynn was pretty good. I thought they had to give Wynn a chance. And obviously they did, and I wish he hadn't gotten hurt. We'll see what happens when he comes back from IR. But I look at Trent Williams, and I think, again, here's a guy who fits the profile more of what they brought in the past. He's been on the Redskins, the dregs of the dregs, probably one of the worst-run franchises in all of professional sports.
Yeah.
He's upset with them over what he feels like is improper medical treatment. And I think he's just done with them. He wants out. So bring him in. He's a rental for a year. You'd have to create some cap space to do it. But basically, there's no more guaranteed money left in his deal. You have him for a year. He plays well. He hits the market. He probably gets paid. You win a Super Bowl. I look at that and I say, that's a win-win. That's the type of thing I can get on board with, you know, in terms of going all in. When I look at Antonio Brown, man, he was like the personification of trying to win at any cost.
Let's go to Jordan in Florida on Antonio Brown and whether Patriots offense goes from here. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, without Antonio Brown, do you think the Patriots might struggle to keep up with Kansas City offensively, or do you think the Patriots defense is good enough that they'll be able to stop Patrick Mahomes on enough drives?
I think it's the latter more than anything else, just looking at how the defense has looked through the first couple of games. I don't know about you.
I mean, I think they'll find a way offensively, and I would not be surprised if they ended up bringing in another wide receiver at some point this year. And I felt that before the season started, before they brought in Antonio Brown, once that happened, it was like, okay, this is unlikely. But, you know, maybe Emmanuel Sanders or somebody like that shakes free. And if they feel like they have a weakness there, that N'Keal Harry's not ready, that Jacoby Myers isn't ready, I would not be surprised if they were to go out and acquire another guy.
Let's go to Cam in Taunton. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hey, Cam.
How's it going, guys? You know, this honestly... Look, I was for bringing him in initially, but the minute that SI story came out about the sexual assault, that should have been it. And this, to me, was the lowest I think Patriots fans ever reached, because we spent all summer bashing the Chiefs and bashing Tyreek Hill. But when it's your guy and he's got red, blue, and gray on, you'll make all the excuses in the world for him. This is he's a despicable human being who never should have been here in the first place. And for all the lows this team, these fan bases reach, from Deflategate to excusing away the AFC East to defending, you know, Kraft and trying to rip him for not pursuing the video, this was the worst. You defended this guy. You defended his actions just because of the logo he was wearing when you ripped him for years when he was wearing the Steelers logo. I hate what this fan base has turned into.
Cam, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay, thanks for the call. So, yeah, maybe for his generation, this might be the low point. Let me tell you, as an old, as a certified old that remembers, and I was a kid, but I definitely remember the Zeke Mowat.
I know, Zeke Mowat.
Lisa Olsen, Victor Kiam days.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that's the lowest of the low.
Like, yeah. And for those of you like Cam, young enough, I didn't know he was 23. Boy, you got a whole life ahead of you, my friend. Google that story, and you go, whoa, imagine that happening in 2019. No, oh my God. it would be a national news, not just a national sports story. So,
well,
yeah.
Also, a big part of it is the Patriots were irrelevant back then, not only here, but nationally. Now, you know, they're one of the most high-profile franchises in all professional sports, so that's part of it, too.
Yeah, maybe other, you know, olds in your life, your dads, your uncles, your grandpa have told you, like, they were the Browns. They were the Browns. They were the Cleveland Browns. They were that laughable, and there was just controversy seemingly every single
I remember week. One year, just quickly, watching some show, and I don't even know what it was, some syndicated thing. It might have been, like, the Playboy, like, NFL preview, something. But they'd done a poll of players, and it was, like, team you'd least like to play for. And this was, like, late 80s, early 90s, and the Patriots won. It was a poll of NFL players. What is the team you would least want to play for? And it was the Patriots.
I mean, my first game, it was 91 or 92. Hugh Millen was definitely the quarterback. The place was like, you know, a quarter full. I froze my ass off. I was against the Bills. The Patriots won by like 2 points. But I remember the whole time, like, Dad, do you hate me? Why did you bring me here? Like, this is the worst experience.
Oh, I can top that. I was at a charity basketball game with my dad at Boston Garden, and Hugh Millen played in the game. And afterwards, my dad was like, why don't you get his autograph? And I was like, no, I'm not interested, but I'd like to get his girlfriend's autograph. And it was Lisa Guerrero.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See? A young
I was more interested in the captain of the cheerleading team than I was the actual quarterback of the Patriots.
A young, hormonal, sexed-up Gasper looking for the right autograph. Otherwise, a Hugh Millen autograph? You may as well get it from a hobo out on the causeway. Let's go to Darnell in the car. You're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Darnell.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
I just had a couple comments on Antonio Brown's effect on the team. My main concern, honestly, with him coming in was Josh Gordon, because Josh Gordon seemed to be, you know, in the best mind state that he's been in years, not even just as a Patriot. And I worried about, you know, all the negative headlines and attention that the team was getting, like affecting him, and not only, you know, off the field, on the field as well, just keeping him involved. So that was my biggest thing about having Antonio Brown here and what I noticed on Sunday.
And Darnell, and now he's gone. So, yeah, his play did dip a little bit. It didn't seem like him and Brady were on the same page in Miami, Josh Gordon and Brady.
Mm-hmm.
So as negative, maybe if you want to put that spin on it, as I've been about Antonio Brown, and I've been a finger-wagging Nana about it, I didn't want him here in the first place. So fine. Yeah, I'll own that. Josh Gordon, though? I don't know. Going with my gut, I think he plays the full season. I know the history. You know, if you look at his history, it feels like that's a bad bet to make. He sounds like he's in a good place. Seems like he's in a good place. Now, the play dipped a little bit last week. I think you're going
to get Brown had something to do with that. And I know they're saying they weren't forcing the ball to Brown.
They were early.
It felt like they made a concerted effort to get him involved, at least.
Yeah, maybe.
At the expense of other people, which I thought including Josh Gordon.
Maybe I'm a sucker for feeling this way, but I think you're going to get a full season out of Josh Gordon. I think he's in the right place. He's saying the right things.
Yeah,
and
I hope so.
I hope I'm right there, too, because Lord knows that they'll need him. But they'll be all right. They never needed Antonio Brown in the first place. We'll squeeze in one more before we wrap up with some Red Sox thoughts, as they have been eliminated as of last night when they lost to the Tampa Bay Rays in extras. Let's go to SJ. You'll be the final call here on Antonio Brown today. Hey, SJ.
Big Jim.
What's
man,
up?
I am bowing at your feet, man. You need to make a whole industry of identifying emotional vampires and eliminating them from your life. Where were you 10 years ago, man? You'd have saved me a lot of money in a divorce.
Oh, well, yeah, maybe I should get into therapy once this radio thing goes to hell. Lord knows it probably will.
Well, a lot of this, what you talk about is based on experience, which people need to know.
Yeah, that's all. You've
learned in your 40-plus years. Yep. You didn't know this at 21.
I feel like most Jim Murray topics have been guided by personal experience.
I would agree.
I feel like this entire show on Saturday is generally guided by the Jim Murray personal experience.
Yeah, pretty much.
A lot of this is a therapy session for me each and every week, and poor Gasper has to sit along on the couch like the spouse. It's like, why? He's the one that's the problem. I'm just going to sit here and listen to him just blurt out all of his issues week after week after week. Hey, let's wrap up with laughing at the Red Sox next here on Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Into left field, and that's going to win it for the Rays. Davis scores without a throw, and Tampa Bay keeps pace with the Indians. Willie Adames, the hero, 5-4 Tampa.
I know this is it. You know, we're not going to make it to the playoffs, but we're not going to stop working. You know, we got a lot of work to do the next 10 days.
That's a real shame. Red Sox losing extras last night to Tampa. You know, a team that is making the playoffs. And those gutless losers have been eliminated from playoff contention. Thank God. They wouldn't have deserved it, even if they went on any kind of run. Ugh. Get out of my face, this year's team, who really has benefited, I think, over the last month or so, at least last few weeks, you know, since the Patriots season started and all the Antonio Brown drama. Yeah, they are.
They skated all year. The Bruins run. Nobody ever paid attention. They skated all year long, Jim Murray. All year.
Have they held a press conference yet to explain why they moved on from Dave Dombrowski? I mean, we all know, but it'd be nice to hear from the gutless brass on this. That was refreshing last night. Just as refreshing of, you know, being right about Antonio Brown. This was gloat day. 1 hour of gloating from yours truly. I'm not going to be the better man today. I'm going to be the worst possible man because I'm going to gloat because I was right about this team from the jump. Oh, just weeks into April, the way that they were talking, carrying on. And you just see how they play against lesser competition. Oh, you just feel like you can show up because you're the reigning World Series champions and repeat. Yeah, good luck with that. Oh, from the first month, I sniffed these losers out. So outside of Devers and Bogarts, blow it the hell up. And Betts is gone, by the way. Like, this is just a formality, I feel like, at this point. I don't know how you feel, McCarthy. You've talked about this in your latest Hardcore Baseball podcast. But Alex Speer had a column in the Boston Globe yesterday. Chris's colleague at the Globe. Talking about Mookie Betts and talking to him. But that money quote, Betts appreciated the chance to see how Fenway Park received and celebrated Yaz and Ortiz, the iconic Red Sox, over the past few weeks. But their hero's welcome, quote, doesn't sway me. You can be remembered in that same fashion, even if you put on a couple of different jerseys, end quote. Bye. See ya. See you later. And they got to get a good return on him. Like, you now have to build up this rotation again, get some young pitching. But, you know, like, They're going to take a dip next year. They already did. We saw it in real time this season.
I'll just tee up McCarthy here, but it's amazing to me. The team has no GM, no idea if they're going to have their ace next year, and no idea whether their best player is going to even be on the team next year. It sounds like, really, they do have an idea, and he won't.
This is one of the most important off seasons I can remember in a long, long time for the Red Sox, and we don't know who's going to be making the decision. The future of the franchise is entirely up in the air when it comes to your ace, when it comes to the face of your franchise, essentially, in Mookie Betts, and you wonder what type of return you'll be able to get for him. I've been kind of poking around on this a little bit, and people are saying the return might not be so good. Because, and makes sense, because, well, how many teams are going to be interested? He wants to go to free agency. Everybody knows the Red Sox might have to trade him. The return might be kind of disappointing. This offseason is going to be massive.
I think, though,
For the Red Sox.
All it takes is one desperate team. And the teams I look at, I think like a St. Louis, because St. Louis always thinks if we get the guy here, he'll love it and re-sign. And that's closer to where he's from. I think St. Louis, Atlanta, and Washington are three teams. So I think Atlanta's outfield situation is a little disastrous. I mean, I know Austin Riley's good, but they don't have much in the outfield, and they're close. And then Washington, I think they have a lot of good prospects, and they might be in a sort of all-in mode while they have the pitching they have. Though, can't Strasburg opt out?
Strasburg, I believe, can opt out, and that'll be interesting. I mean, that's going to be one of the most important things in the baseball offseason. I just throw the Dodgers out there as well, depending on what happens. You know, again, if they fail to win the World Series again this year, they tried to load up and they tried to get Harper. You know, maybe they've got the prospects to deal. You know, maybe they get involved too. But It's not a guarantee that they're going to walk away with like four guys from the top 100. I would just temper those expectations.
Quickly, Chris, you got a name in mind for the next GM? Do you want them to try to go all in on trying to bring Theo back?
I would like Eric Neander from... I mean, Theo would be my first choice, but I don't think it's going to happen. And what I don't want is off-brand Theo. Like, you know, one of these disciples. Like, I'm good with that. They've tried that. That's fine. You know, Hazen I like, but he re-upped with the Diamondbacks. I'd like to see them go outside the organization, get a different view, talk to somebody in Houston or, you know, Cleveland if you can get Chris Antonetti or the guys that are in Tampa Bay, Eric Neander and Bloom. Talk to those guys. Try and get, because they're all, those are the smartest guys in the room now. Your guys aren't the smartest guys in the room anymore. And that's not a knock on who's there. It's just that things have evolved in baseball. And there was a time when Theo was here when I think the Red Sox were at the cutting edge. I'm not sure that's the case anymore.
One I've thrown out there, McCarthy, give me like 30 seconds on his Alex Anthopoulos in Atlanta the last couple of years. Now, granted, a lot of those pieces were already there, but you know, that team looks like they're going to go on a deep run. He found some really good pitching when he was with Toronto, like Marcus Stroman. So would he be a candidate?
I would like to see that. I mean, I just wonder if you're a top candidate out there, are you truly interested in the Red Sox? The last two GMs they've fired within 2 years of winning the World Series. Is it as good a job as it used to be? I don't think it is. Yeah. Not even close.
Well, it's like Matt says, if you're going to come here, you're going to want a stake in ownership, I would think. That would be part of the big draw of becoming the next GM of the Boston Red Sox. But for now, they're done. And next Friday, the final baseball report is, and the kid here gets to get out at 6 p.m. Freedom! That'll do it for Gasper Murray here, for Chris, for Matt McCarthy, Mason Souza producing the show. Thanks for joining us. Coming up, Michigan, Wisconsin. You've been clamoring for it all week. Enjoy.
The Felger Bowl.
Yeah. Enjoy. He's actually there. Talk to you Monday on Felger and Mass. Bye.
Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.